Us
Hi,
both.
Aleta. Greetings.
Greetings.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, how are you?
Well, thank you for the music. I found it very powerful, and I had to wash it out of my system for a while, as you noticed. But it gave me a lot of understanding of what's possible.
And you know, it's interesting about the heavy metal music is I spent a long time trying to understand why I was attracted to heavy metal music, and it took me many years to figure it out. And I was involved in heavy metal music culture and touring with heavy metal musicians and talking to them and trying to understand the culture and everything. I never really felt like I was a part of it, but there was a part of me that was wanted to create that kind of music. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that music that culture, the harmonics of it, the rhythm of it, and everything is a emotional displacement. It is a cathartic ritual displacement of toxic energies. So most of these guys are teenagers or young men. They have a lot of angst and a lot of trouble in their backgrounds, and they're angry. And so they go to these concerts, and in these concerts they have camaraderie, they have friendship, and they're never violent, and they're always very friendly, but the music itself is this...
It's actually very ancient. It's very... We in Western culture don't have proper rituals to release and to integrate this kind of energy. Obviously, in indigenous cultures, they had a lot of different ritual to...
The African drumming, the South American drumming, the Greek and Roman orgies, and
exactly. So in our culture, we haven't had that given to us. So
kind of serves that function.
Yeah, modern music kind of serves that function, and actually, with our new music, which is actually a lot more mellow than anything Colin's ever done.
Yeah,
beautiful singing voice too.
Uh-huh. Myself, I've done jazz, and I've started out, you know, learning classical music, and so I've done all kinds of stuff, but I think what attracted me to doing the heavier styles, and that's actually where we met, was that it had come to a point in my own development where I needed to learn about that energy in myself so that I could learn how to integrate that. And then I also see a larger container for it in this new music that we're creating, because it's going to be a multimedia production which will have a ritual element to it, which we're still in development with. But one of the gifts that I was given was the ability to actually download, so to speak, a certain energetics to actually actually helps people. I think it helps people clear.
Yeah, she connects with the audience very well, and is a very good improviser. And so it's sort of a...
I've always felt like a shamanic. A more deeper when I'm on stage, a much deeper experience for me. It's almost like I tune into the collective of the audience and pull out from them what they're needing to process.
The role of the priestess.
So
I'm seeing this new, all this new information that we've been working on. We're basically going to be sharing this information in a right brain sort of way, so that it will enter people in a way that they don't even have to really think about.
Yeah, or that's the idea.
That's the idea.
Let me connect it up to something what we did here a long time ago, in something called the Dreamtime Healing Concerts. Mm-hmm. I met a guy who played a didgeridoo, explained to him why it worked on the body, then explained to him how the meridians play a role in that, then had him experience shiatsu, the displacement of the charges into the discharge in the body, And out of that, he then came up with his notion of the Dreamtime Healing Concert, which was a combination of a brain machine, flickering eyes and goggles, with an electronic synthesizer, with all the shamanic rituals, instruments such as the didgeridoo, the singing bowls, the rain sticks, and other drums and other stuff. With that, we always started with the same way as with the massage, basically making contact, just making contact. So we started from silence with a very slow picking up of the rhythm, basically of the rhythm of the body. And I'd used to play the drums, and then basically had the same kind of priest function of picking up the rhythm of the hall. The resonance of the hall, the resonance of the people in it, the resonance of the people playing the instruments, integrating it all. And then from slow drum beats, we went then, like with the massage, from the slow contact to the firmer contact. And then with the didgeridoo, so basically with the drums, we would do a pre-wash, after which followed the didgeridoos, basically vacuuming out the meridians, so flushing out the whole system, moving the charge in the digestive system of the body, after which the singing bowls would do the ironing, after which very tranquil rain sticks and tinkle bells would offer a dream state journey. And so, like with the massage, a very gentle start, and then going into the tense systems, relocating, connecting the over tense with the over weak, digesting that, and then very slowly, invisibly disappearing again.
Yeah, that's nice.
I noticed that within the music. Let me just describe what I experienced in the music, which, as I said, very powerful, very direct. but there was another beautiful singing voice, as I said, but there was this other effect. For me, this is a different culture. And my sensation was that it was as if I entered into a machine workshop. And let me start with my after image.
Yeah.
It was as if I would have needed that if I lived in a place of pressure, a place of constant pressure. Because if I live in a place of constant pressure and I step out of that, suddenly I go from pressure to pressure less. And without knowing how to handle that, the body gets, in a way, stuck in it. So, in a way, the music formats that back into it. And as you know, a lot of his music is had been used by the soldiers in Iraq to actually go around, get into a trance and kill people.
That's true.
So, in that sense, there's a lot of music in this culture, rap music and other music, which reminds of the steam engines of the industrialization era in England, which of course goes back to the galleys and the drums used there. So basically, also as used in marching music, a steady beat to numb the senses, dull the will, and get on with it. So I experienced that this music, in a way, gives the people like a harness, so that when they come out of their workspace, which is under pressure, like a diving suit, then this is like the post-diving pressure chamber, that they can come out of it. And I realized that in my body, as I described it in my written reflection, it was like as if inside of me I was wearing a coat which didn't fit. Later I sort of pictured that more as kind of straight jacket which was sort of wrinkled. And it took me a while to digest it out of my system, but it helped me understand why this music for people working under the pressure is like a drug, because it is like a compensation system, because it is in a way a remedy to cope with a uncopable or unlivable situation of that continuous pressure. But that also connected me to a notion of a friend of mine who realized that with the drugs there is a possibility to build a spiral staircase, as he called it, which is exactly the same as we do in our metabolic system, so that you go from a high intensity take over drugs, heroin, cocaine, and what it be, and go to the next run, and bring it down to a level where the body recognizes how it makes these same drug types within itself. And of course, once you are out of the external input, which creates the addiction, you then can regulate your own creation again, which is the shamanic way, and then you can switch between all these levels of intensities. And that's also what I saw with this music, that especially with this combination of forces, it is possible to, like with the massage, sort of start gently so that anybody can start to listen to it, then right. build it up to these ritualistic, cathartic massages at a deep, say, rolling type of intensities, mm-hmm. and then turn them into the circulation of the meridian system. I actually show how the musical scales and the musical rhythms give the wash through of the whole body to bring it back to the fundamental natural body rhythms, which of course the voice can express so nicely, which is the rhythm of the breath, the heartbeat, the gut cycle, and the cell cycle. So I found it a very instructive experience for me, and I realized why I always stay away from this kind of music, because with what I do, these kind of pressure experiences, they're not fun. But I also learned so much from it, so thank you for putting that on my path.
Yeah, and thank you for the great comments, yeah. And I have to tell you, though, that yes, it's true. So this music, that kind of heavy music, is created out of urban environments, out of industrial urban environments, and like you said, people living under pressure. And if you go to these concerts and you talk to these people, mostly men in their early to mid 20s or teenagers, and you talk to them and get to know them, you'll find that most of them are suffering from some kind of developmental trauma or abuse, and that they are a lot of times dealing with anger. And so what they do is they go to these concerts, and, you know, in these heavy metal concerts, something has developed. It first started in the punk rock concerts in the late 70s, so they called it slam dancing. And then it's developed into this thing they now call the mosh pit. And it's basically in the audience, some of the members of the audience will spontaneously get into a dance, a circular dance, where they basically push each other around, physically push each other around in a circular formation. And it's in good fun, but it's aggressive. And if people fall over, they pick each other up. And they aggressively push each other around to the tempo of the music. It's very ritualistic and very interesting to see how this has emerged. And these boys, if they get hurt in the concert, they see it as a badge of honor. They
like an initiation.
It's like an initiatory
battle ritual. Scars. Yeah.
Battle scars, exactly. And they are, through going to this concert, they are displacing their internal entropy out. And so it's a cathartic emotional release process for them. Some people go and get, you know, like Irish or whatever, they go and get drunk and then get into fights, right? Or the English.
Yeah.
And they display their internal entropy that way. So really what I see it is it's almost like a contained displacement mechanism for channeling destructive energy that they have inside of them, especially at the age that they are, in a safe way. And then it also gives them a little micro culture outside of the culture of friends, and it's a unique little micro culture. And there's different genres of heavy metal music. There's genres that there's black metal, there's death metal, there's all different kinds of heavy metal and thrash metal, and they deal with different subject matters, and they seem to be dealing with different kinds of energies.
Yeah, I have two associations with that. One of them, I played rugby at some point, and for the same purposes of charging the discharge. And in my case, I was sort of outside of had the rugby mentality, in the same way that you described you were outside of the heavy metal mentality, because for me and my teammates, it was the thing to do after competition rowing. So in 2 years, we have been building up our body to top level condition. And if you stop at once, the heart doesn't know what to do with it. So you need this pressuring down. Again, this barometric chamber, baropressure chamber after the diving experience. And so there are many of these kind of transformation devices in society.
True.
What you describe of the different types of heavy metal music, and basically all kinds of music.
Yeah,
and I started to describe that for you, for me, for everybody, in this text on why music heals or hurts, that there is this connection which the Indian culture knows very well, and the Chinese culture also makes very explicit, between types of music and the organs in our body. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the body, then basically it is just a colony of cells which originated from one cell. So as a whole, in its unfolded state, the body is still that one cell. So it's the cell on the inside, the universe on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But by transforming from a single cellular organism, life has integrated the capacity of the plant to connect two different terrains, such as the landscape and the climate.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also learned to integrate the seasons in the organ circulation. So we can actually stand and feed in one point, carry it along, transform it somewhere else, and eliminate it somewhere else yet again. And it is that organ system which thus means that there is a different kind of relationship within us to the world around us. And in the organ system, as described by the Indians and the Chinese, and Western culture doesn't quite understand that. You see that the organs are like a Möbius loop, like a figure eight lemniscate, which has one loop inside of the body, the food chain or the cell communication within the body, and one loop outside of the body, which is the food chain in nature.
Right.
And there is a crossing point via the mouth, the regulation in, and via the anus, the regulation out. And so in that connectedness of the cycle, the organs all have a slightly different position versus the inside or the outside. So the heart is very closely connected to the blood, which is like the cosmic ocean within us, or the amniotic fluid within us.
Mm-hmm.
And other organs, like the skin and the lungs, are much more connected to the outside. And so in that sense, the figure eight lemniscate of the organs of the body are, let's say, a bit eccentric. It is as if you have a wheel, and if you put the organs per pair, because there's always a solid organ and a hollow organ, for example, the liver and the gallbladder, the one transforms and the other transports, regulates transport. Then if you put these organs on that wheel, some of them are more on the inside, some of them are more on the outside.
Mm.
And in that way, you can see that in the Chinese approach, the heart is essential to the rhythm. So it actually connects to the lungs. With the lungs, we can breathe in and out at will, to some extent. But if we start to breathe more quickly, more rapidly, the heart will speed up too. If we start to breathe more slowly, the heart will do that too.
Right.
But if the heart goes quicker, then the blood circulation goes quicker too, and the gut blood nourishing goes quicker too. If the heart slows down, then the circulation of the blood goes down, and the gut and the organ feeding goes down too.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that through our breathing, pranayama does that, we can actually regulate our unconscious heartbeat. An unconscious heartbeat, then we can also influence our unconscious gut flow, and we can also influence our out of conscious cell dynamic. That is the essence of pranayama and the breathing techniques of the East and the Far East. And so in music we have the same. We work with the body rhythms as well as we do with our breathing and the heartbeat and the gut and the cell cycles. But we can play in on that, and in the Eastern philosophies, which are actually practices, organs have specific roles. So where the heart is the harmonizer of the rhythm, the liver is more the capacity to express energy, to create energy. It's the sugar fat power converter in the body. The kidneys are more with the release of energy, also to the environment. But then where the liver would be associated with anger and aggression, the capacity to create space for yourself, the kidney would be associated with crying and shouting, screaming, discharging into the environment. And if you go back in that cycle, then you go into the colon and the lung, which is actually the letting go part. The in a way, the despondency, but also the being loose of it. What happens in the body where the carbon dioxide goes out and where the manure goes out. And then when you go further back in the cycle, you end up with the spleen and the stomach, which is about your identity and integrity. When everything has happened, what is left of you? And then when you go further back in the cycle, you reconnect the heart, and then your heartbeat is what you do. And so with the music, you can actually communicate with each of these organs and do that cathartic process in a very, very directed manner.
Interesting.
This is something which came up. I've known this for a very long time, but I've never found a possibility to connect to translate that into something. But what you're doing is actually at that level. And if I could just at some point, basically what I just told you about these qualities of the organs, if you play with those, then you can actually combine all those forms of music and say from the silence you can go into that specific quality of, say, the anger and aggression of the liver, which you do in the metal music. But in the same way, you can also go into the kidney quality of, let's call it, Trauer music, as the word comes from German, the sadness, the mourning kind of music, like the letting go, discharging kind. You also have this liturgic, despondent, being disconnected from it all. The music of the kind of void, which Arvo Pärt sort of addresses very nicely. And then you can come back to the music of the self and the soul, which some of the spiritual and Indian music connects up with nicely, to come back to the heart music, which is the rhythms, and some of the drumming traditions have that, but then in a much wider range. And in your music, I already hear all of that. But by simply knowing that this cycle exists, you'll be able to cater to all of the needs of everybody, and in that way provide an antidote to this pressure situation that people live in, for which the music often serves as a drug. And of course a drug is kind of self-medication to be able to cope with an unlivable situation.
Why don't you write out sometime essentially a screenplay, a script where you identify the different organs energies that you want to address in a certain order, let's say a five or seven movements or however many, and then tell us what those are, and then at some point maybe we can compose something that puts those five or seven different pieces together.
Oh, that would be, yeah.
If you would write the script for
it. That is wonderful.
Yeah, sometime we can do that.
Yeah, maybe I can add that to the text. I already sent you a draft of a text that I'm working on why music hurts or heals.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that story is about universal rhythms and how universal rhythms became planetary rhythms, how they became body rhythms, and how they actually are the body, mind, soul, spirit rhythms within us.
Mm.
And as I said the other time, one of the projects I'm working with is called Mathemusics, because I realized that doctors have too little understanding of the rhythms in the body. They are not able to understand principles like achronic diseases. A so-called chronic disease is actually a disease which works outside of time, like a reflex or a belief. And those are the kind of things that, Melissa, you addressed. And I started reading the Shadow Tech, and I started reading your story, Melissa, about recognizing, catalyzing, triggering, and resolving the pent-up charges within us. Essentially, that's what homeopathy does too. Recognize the pattern that is stuck, feed it to the whole body, then the whole body adjusts to it. The part which is stuck suddenly is recognized by the rest of the body, and together they can remember that they can resolve this.
Right.
And so... that is a very fundamental technique. So homeopathy is basically what music can do, because homeopathy is the use of materials to give a rhythm or a pattern in the form of an electromagnetic signature called a molecular spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And that work has been very nicely elaborated by Cyril Smith, who showed that homeopathy is electromagnetic in nature. Actually, it is making use of a radio field to feed the body information so that the rest of the body cells have that electromagnetic information and can process it, digest it, resolve the stuck problem in the body. And Cyril Smith also showed that acupuncture, the meridians, are electromagnetic channels. Actually, they are not electromagnetic, but they're electromagnetic phase coherence channels, which put them in the electromagnetic as well. Yeah, go on, Melissa.
I've had a lot of acupuncture over the years. I used to go to acupuncture schools when I was living in Seattle for a while, and I've had some very strong acupuncture sessions where I felt the electromagnetic energy very clearly, how it operated throughout my system. So I understand what you're saying on an experiential level.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Let me just give a translation connecting up on that then, because there is a mistranslation in the notions of Shen and Qi. When the Chinese text picked up by the Jesuits and translated by the Germans came to Europe, at that time in Europe they had just discovered this notion of energy. And so when the Chinese text had this qi, it is so important, in the West they thought that related to energy, and that caused a misunderstanding from that time onward. If you realize that physics and science look at dead matter and the motions of dead matter by what they call energy, then you miss out on understanding that in our body we never have anything to do with dead matter, because all the materials of the body are composed by and produced by the living cells for the purpose of enhancing their communication. So in the body, the living cells are working with the nuclear energies to produce the molecules that form the physicality of the body. But the cells do that because these molecules all have electromagnetic properties. So they're specific waveguides, antennae, containers, and discharge capacitors for what the cells need as a surrounding electromagnetic field for processing information. So the Chinese understood that the qi is actually the phase information for cell communication regulation. That's quite a lengthy term. Mm-hmm. So the qi is the information by which cells can synchronize what they do. It's like a radio signal, which is passed around like a kind of estafette between all the cells. And this circulation of synchronization information is called the qi. And actually when the cells cannot hear that synchronization information, which is a phase information, it says, okay, this is where we start. This is where the new wavelengths start. This is where we go into the quantum leap of the crossing point between the one wave and the next wave. As you might understand, Einstein was describing how electromagnetic waves are formed out of one wave after the other, after the other, after the other. So he was looking at these waves, and Planck was looking at the crossing of the waves. He said, well, okay, if these waves cross, then there must be a point where you actually turn from the one into the other. And that singularity of the one wave turning into the other became then the quantum leap. So Einstein was looking at the wave, and Planck was looking at the connection point of the waves. But for the cells in their wave cycle, they are not looking for the swell of the wave or the surge of the wave, but they are looking for the moment that the wave turns into its opposite. And that is called phase information. Are you going to one way, or are you going to go the other way? Is the quantum positively charged, or is it negatively charged? Is it flipping the one way or the other way? Which is, by the way, connected to freedom of choice. So the Chinese understood that the cells need that kind of still point, turning point, zero point, for knowing when they reconnect their cell cycle. And when you look at cells which cannot reconnect, because there's too much acidity around them, or there are old traumatic pressure systems rotating like a cyclone around them, or when they live in a body where there is a continuous misunderstanding between self and non-self, then the self can no longer synchronize. They will fall back on their underlying do-it-yourself state. If necessary, they will fall back on their previous cell origin and change to a different kind of metabolism. And that will actually be the principle of a cancer cell. So a cancer cell is a cell which no longer could hear the synchronization pulse, and it requires an over-acidified body, which means that there are too many free electrons, which is the equivalent of a lot of heat or a lot of noise going on around the cell, so the signal just got drowned in the noise and it cannot synchronize. And especially why is when there's let me just follow up with the two other stages, and then could you hold it for a moment?
Yeah, of course.
Because once the signal drowns in the noise, the cell has difficulty to do that. But if on top of that there is a locked-in archetype, there is a belief which is dysfunctional, an old memory of a situation which has not been digested, which is stored in that area, like like a memory loop. It runs around and creates a local circulation, separate from what happens in the rest of the body. But that distorts the connection of that region from the rest of the body. And as Rieke Geert Hamer described, cancers will arise in those areas which you, Melissa, already described of the stored traumatic experiences, right. Specifically there. But stored traumatic experiences will come in people where basically they have been, let's bluntly call it, raped or enslaved or subjected or put into a denial state by others. And so their internal realization no longer connects up to the external reality or the creation of the universe. So their inside and outside is out of balance. They sort of held themselves up, separated themselves off from the universe. But that in homeopathy, that's one of the patterns of cancer disease, which is treated by carcinosin, which actually is about people who let the outside environment too much dictate what goes on within them. Mm. So if you use the shamanic healing of restoring the self image versus the world image, and then you use the meridian therapy of balancing the activation and the passivation, that is the internal circulation, and some Danes have done that. Basically, you rebalance the meridian system and you get rid of all these stored traumatic experiences, mm-hmm. and you deacidify the body. Then the only thing you still need to do is to nourish the cells, and the cancer will simply ungrow. Mm-hmm. And I knew that, and I sought for a way to do that in music, or to find how music could do that. Colin, you had a connection up on that. Thank you for letting me complete this story, because all of the four levels are interconnected, so it's better to have them together.
Gotta get all four of them. Well, one is you started to address it. Two things come to mind. One is that okay. So help us picture better than the way in which a cells will become cancerous, malignant in a certain local area. You said that it would have something to do with experience that's being held in a certain area, but okay. Two things. One is how do I picture a state where how do I picture this discordance going on inside the body that would give rise to a tumor on your tongue, or a tumor in your brain, or a tumor on your tongue, or whatever, and in that. How do I actually physically see or model a state inside the body where this discordance is happening? How can I see that better?
Well, wonderful question there. One of the things I had to come to grips with is that as a medical doctor, I was taught to look at it in the wrong way. As I told you, I had my engineering training before that, so I had already been conditioned to look at the world as if material. And in my period in the British Library, I realized that other cultures don't look at it like that.
Right.
For them, matter is consequential. What is more important is not the forms of matter, but the forming of matter. And then you can see that whatever form of matter you find in the universe, it always formed in that way in a specific environment. So when you go back to the forming processes, which are actually electromagnetic in nature, then the story becomes very different. And tetrionics actually has a very nice way of describing that. It separates out the electromagnetic fields, which drive and form everything in the universe, on the one side. And on the other side, it has these little knots in the electromagnetic structure, actually mm-hmm. clusters of four quanta, which together form the primordial basis of matter, out of which you can then have the subatomic particles, zoos, the atoms, the molecules, and matter. But those are just clusterings of these tetrions, and the clustering depends on the kind of electromagnetic field around it. So that helps to see that in our body too, we stop looking at the anatomy, but realize that the anatomy is merely a kind of, let's say, an exudator, extrusion process, just like people make plastic in molds and models, but then done by the cells.
Mm-hmm.
So all these materials are used by the cells to make these waveguides for their communication, but the anatomy is only the footprint in the sand of the physiological process. And the physiology is this metabolic circulation of information and food between the cells.
Right.
And at a deeper level, of course, is what happened within the cells, based on what happens at the deepest level the information that the cells interact with. So in looking at the origination of cancer, the same happens. So the physical distortion of the body with cancer cells suddenly doing other things, growing in a different way, can be reduced back, traced back to a distortion in the physiology. So in the local cell communication, the information just got too shouty or too silent. Basically, exactly the same stuff I was talking about in reflecting on the potentials of your music and actually mm-hmm. what you already have been doing and have been feeling, each of you, in seeing that there's a fundamental healing quality in that music.
Mm-hmm.
So that operates at the level of the physiology, which is the cell communication, which is all these rhythmic processes, which is the metabolism, which is also the storing of information, the transformation of information, the discharge of information. So actually that is the level of the software running around in the computer.
Right, right. Now,
that
how
software,
does
when that is distorted and can't, and cells can no longer find what they are doing, that will be the result of those cells, let's call the CPUs within the system, having gotten the wrong information to work with. So the anatomical form of the cells has changed because the physiology of the cells amongst themselves no longer computed, because within some of the cells the information that they had was absent or wrong. And at the most basic level, it is simply that the cells in their cell cycle, there's four parts of the cell cycle, and one which in my medical school was never really expressed or addressed well, is called the pause phase. And from an engineering perspective, that is very logical that the pause phase would be there, because if there is a cell cycle, how can the cell synchronize what it is doing with what all these other trillions of cells are doing? So there must be a moment that the cell waits and listens, and listens for the ping, the quantum jump, the transition from one phase to the next, and then start, okay, this is where we restart the cell cycle. The quantum leap of Max Planck, now we go from the one wave to the other, now we go from one phase to the other, now we go from one cycle to the next. Mm-hmm. But if within the cell it cannot hear that ping of the synchronization pulse for all these cells amongst each other, it can no longer synchronize, and it will start to just do things on its own, do-it-yourself kind of organization. But it will have that problem at the moment that what I described before, the information that it is listening for is drowned out by acidity. So one of the components of the creation of cancer, and this was already described by Otto Warburg, who's got the first Nobel Prize for cancer research. He said the body needs to be over acidified for cancer to be able to emerge. And acidity is actually an enormous flood of free electrons. I consider it as a thundercloud. Mm-hmm. Suddenly everything is electrical in the environment, so how can the cell know what's going on? Just like children get scared, right, and confused and need to learn that it's not about that. Cells need to learn it's not about that, which is basically what you do with the psychological traumatic discharges. And for that there are many ways. But these traumatic charges will flow around in these free electrons, and as you described for the heavy metal experience, mm-hmm. It is like a super emotional state. But an emotional state, as described in Chinese and Indian medicine, is just a normal metabolic state, but amplified, or the opposite, weakened. And so there will be experiences which are stored in the body, and this is the tricky part of it, because disease is nothing special. Diseases, you try to do something, you pick up this heavy suitcase, and right, then you discover that the suitcase has to be emptied out by somebody. Your body was poised to pull that whole weight of the suitcase, but suddenly that counterweight is not there. Your body was ill-prepared. You pull your muscles, the suitcase goes up, you need to stop that motion, so the muscles on the other side start to kick in, hit the brake, and suddenly you get this kind of whiplash effect in your muscles, and you get these muscle cramps because it was out of balance.
Yeah, that's simple. It's just a equilibrium or balance situation, right? Dis-ease.
Exactly. And if you look at that energy system, the organ system, the creation system in the body, as described by the Oriental, Far Oriental medical approach, then energy, for example, is created in the liver, or it is processed in the liver.
Is that like the mitochondria of the body?
Yeah, you can translate it to the cell level exactly what you're doing. They describe it at the level of the organs. Mm-hmm. By the way, the mitochondrium is an internalized microbe. It is a powerhouse in the body. It has all kind of regulators, capacitors around, like the Golgi device. It has an electron accelerator device in there, the whole lot. The Chinese describe it, however, at the level of the organs.
Right.
So just imagine that somebody wants to create space, and not live a hefty suitcase, but move a mountain, or fell has to climb out of a pit, and then suddenly you need the extra energy, you need the extra sugar to burn down. Mm-hmm. The liver energy goes in because you need to move the muscles, and then you find that the muscles don't move. So, for example, you're trapped in sand, you exert energy, which is the same as anger, by the way, it's the same principle, but you cannot express the anger, and so it backfires into your body. So then that anger, which does not move the outside world, starts to move the body. And we are always living in that precarious balance of what we do must connect up to what happens in the environment.
Right.
So when you start to move the body but start to move the environment, but the environment doesn't move, you still have started to move the body. And suddenly all that energy, instead of going out where it was intended to go, it bounces back in. Mm-hmm. And so for all of the diseases, it's always that principle. So on the kidney side, it will be you try to discharge something and you cannot get rid of it. In the lung and colon kind of situation, you want to be loose from something, but you can't. You're stuck some way. In the spleen, stomach, pancreas situation, you would like to be yourself for a moment, but you can't. You're being overruled by something from outside. Or in the heart situation, you like to sing and dance and express your own rhythms together with the rest of nature, because you're connected with nature anyhow. So your heart, your dance is part of the dance of nature, the dance of Shiva, dance of creation. But somehow the music stopped. Mm-hmm. At each of these things you are doing is stored in the body. And so when you cannot metabolize that out again, mm-hmm. that whatever is stored in the body will continue to be stored in the body, for the simple reason that the body hopes, the body, mind, soul, spirit hopes that sometime later you will have the time to resolve that. And that actually connects up to the reflex system and the memory system. And it's very simple. If, for example, you're out in the field, the tiger chases you, you escape by climbing into the tree, then you're sitting there shaking in the tree because you had to do a lot of work, and that memory of the tiger chasing you is stored in the memory banks, because it is an experience that you have lived, so it will be something that goes in the memory bank, but it is not resolved, because you know the next time you see the tiger, what then? And so then that memory is stored so that you are able to find a solution and transform it and create a situation in which next time that you're out in the field and the tiger comes, you will have a solution. For example, you will have a portable tree that you can climb in, or let's call it a hut, and in that way are able to resolve the problem for the future. So in that way, a psychological trauma can be stored so that the body, having escaped the situation and And normally in a situation like that, there comes the tiger, your mind shut down because nothing you can do. Actually, the mind needs to shut down because everything that can be done needs to go to the body. The body does the trick, gets you out into the tree, you're safe.
Okay, now, but two things came to mind, though, if I can, and you can move into these, and that is...
Can I just get the other side of the story first, because they're so connected.
Okay,
Imagine you're sitting in that tree, but you're still shaking, and then you fall out of that tree.
Mm-hmm.
You break your leg, you cannot go anymore. Mm-hmm. You cannot move anywhere. At that moment, it is not the mind that has shut up, as when the tiger was chasing you, and the body getting you out in the safe space, but now the opposite happens. The body is literally broken, and cannot move, so now it's up to the mind to solve it. And actually the mind then needs to go into the breakage and into the memory of the break, and the Australians have some techniques. They actually sing the broken bones together again, which is described in Mutant Message Down Under. So there are tribes which actually immediately go into the communication with the cells, explain to the cells at their level what's happened, so that through the mind the body can be restored. So we have both of them.
Mm.
We have a traumatic memory of the mind, we have a traumatic memory of the body, and we always use the complement to sort it out, but sometimes that doesn't work, and then it is stored in the body until it can be sorted out later. Yeah, please come back to what you saw as a connection to that. Thank
that's
you for finishing it off, because they're so connected. It's better to have them together, I think.
Yeah, no problem. Well, two things came up during this segment of your talk is that I think have to be addressed. Is I'll just say them both, and you can address them in whatever order you want. Is one is what we're finding out about how epigenetics works, and about how these chromosomes are flagged, and they can be information can be passed about trauma can be passed intergenerationally. And so that's one thing. And then the other thing is that there's also the viral theory of cancer, where cancer is caused by viruses. And so maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just pausing for a moment because I'm thinking, because what I described at this moment was the third level of cancer. And your reflections connect up to that. I'm wondering if I should briefly reconnect to the fourth level.
Okay.
Let me briefly connect the fourth level, because we'll need that to be able to solve the DNA memory and the viral intrusions on that.
Okay.
Because actually the problem of the DNA doesn't come from the DNA, and the solution for the virus doesn't lie at the level of the virus. I will need to go to this fourth level first.
Okay.
Okay, so I started with cells can do their own thing, but sometimes that go wrong because they're part of a process. Let's, for example, the body acidification, in which they cannot function well. At the moment that they're in whatever activity, the cell communication will always be based on what the cells can decide for themselves, but they also always synchronize with the cells around them. At the moment that doesn't happen, because of the body-mind disconnection. They're out on their own. But if at the same time there is not a local trauma around the body, as I described for the tiger and the falling out of the tree experiences, for example, but if in the body as a whole there is a mistake, a confusion, then the cells will have great difficulties to calibrate where they actually are. It is as if they are in the wrong season, which is one of the reasons why Chinese medicine always tries to calibrate the turning points of the season so that the body can go from summer mode to winter mode. Basically, that's again that phase change from the one top side of the wave to the bottom side of the wave. If you can calibrate these transition points, these zero points well, then you can mesh up with nature very well, and you can hibernate excellently. But that is the level that you need to know that what happens within the body must match what happens outside of the body. And in that sense, culture is sometimes far away from nature. And metal music, and there's so many examples of that. So that in a way, people do not only live in houses with a climate control inside, but they also live in social settings with social climate control inside. And North Korea does it differently than the United States. Not all too differently, by the way. And there are other tribes which have a very different approach on the relationship between the individual and the collective. And it's at that level, at that fourth level, where we look at the relationship between the part and the whole. And that's where the information inside and the information outside must match. If culture separates from nature, then you'll get a problem. And that brings me back to the two points that you addressed with the virus and the DNA. By the way, they're very strongly connected. Virus is, let's call it, a fragment of DNA outside of the production process, a spin-off.
Right.
But let's first go connect up to the DNA. And I call that the Lipton machine or the Lipton device. Bruce Lipton described how information is built into the body. Actually, there's a couple people who describe that. Hans von Rekeweg, the brother of the man who created the pharmaceutical approach to homeopathy, or the whole Hale therapeutic system came out of their thinking. Hans von Rekeweg realized that we have a perception of the world around us. Let's call it as an information field. Then it is taken through the skin into the body, and the whole body needs to respond to that. Then in the body, the organs need to respond to that and digest it. And if they cannot digest it, then the cells will have to deal with it. And if they can't do it, it will be stored in the DNA as a memory to be able to resolve that later.
Okay.
James Oshman described the same. But rather than looking at the level of experiences and, say, images of the world, he describes it as the electromagnetic effect. So there's an electromagnetic field around us, and then it is taken into the body, where essentially it goes into an electrochemical process. The whole body needs to take in these signals, integrate them throughout the body, and resolve them. And as a result, that needs to go into the organ system, which is the electrochemical, close to physical transformation, like a step-down transformer of encoding it, resolving it, getting all these vibrations in place so that these musical organs of the body can sort out the rhythms and bring it into the harmony of the organic cycles and the cell cycles. And finally, that will go into the cells, which will then respond to that and either get too excited or get too numbed, which can cause all kinds of diseases. And as a result, internally, that will then be encoded into the DNA. So when you compare Hans von Rekeweg with James Oshman, and then comes the story of Bruce Lipton, Bruce Lipton looks at the last part of that and says that the information that we have happening on ongoing around the cell is taken into the cell by the four proteins. The sensor protein basically captures the information. The portal protein decides if it opens the gate to let let things in or out or not. The linking protein actually connects the information of what happens outside with what is done with it. And then the DNA mantle protein sort of transcribes whatever new was learned by the linking protein into the DNA. And as discussed the previous time, over the course of time, the singular cellular organisms, basically it started with the somatype, the virus, the fungus, the virus, and the microbes, leading to the single cellular organisms, which became the plants, the animals, and the self-aware beings.
Right.
In them, that information of the environment is then encoded, and the small memory molecules of the small organisms extended to the large memory molecules, the RNA and the larger, more complex organisms. So Bruce Lipton describes that all our experiences are added to the DNA, which is this learning living library on Earth, and we share the DNA with all life forms. Bruce Lipton also makes clear that when that happens within the body and in the body cells, that the cells will respond to what happens around them. But that means they must also respond to what happens in the organ that they're part of. But that also means that they must respond to the other organs that they're not part of. Right. But that also means that they must respond to what happens outside of the body altogether. He only addresses the cell event, the cell environment, and the organ environment, two levels. But actually there are four, and if you look from the perspective of the cell, and the cell is conscious, aware, and alive, and all that. So right. It has its own experience.
Right.
But as a cell, it is part of the organ, so it shares the experience with all the similar cells in that same organ.
Right.
So while it is conscious of its own activities, decisions, and so on, it is part of, a sub-part of, it is subconscious of what happens in the organ. So subconscious is actually sub in the conscious of that organ. But for what happens in the other organs, the cell is outside of that, so it is unconscious.
Right.
But the outside world for the cell is out of consciousness. And those are the
right.
four levels of consciousness we are dealing with. I need to add that in because I need that to be able to address the errors in DNA computations.
Okay.
Because we now have that the cells are conscious, in the organs they are unconscious, subconscious, in the body they are unconscious, and the outside world for the cell is literally outside and outside of consciousness, out of consciousness, comatose and beyond. So, when cell responds to things, it is by integrating that information into the DNA. And basically, it's like a machinery. You have the antenna of the sensor protein, you have the door handle of the portal protein, you have the door guardian, which in ancient text was called the diabolos, or the devil, by the way, the guardian at the gate. Which decides to which information there shall be a response, yes or no. But at the same time, that guardian at the gate has a back support of the portal protein, which is connected to the to the DNA mantle protein, which has contact with the whole DNA. In fact, everything that the body experienced stored as a memory in the form of memories, the crystal.
Now, where are we? Are we at the membrane of the nucleus or at the cell outer membrane?
Well, in the story of Bruce Lipton, that is not included, but it is at those four levels. So the sensor protein is at the surface. The portal protein is in the surface. The linking protein is under the surface. And the DNA mantle protein is connected to the core.
Right.
Actually, those are the four steps of a boundary transition as described in alchemy.
Okay.
So they work together. They are four parts of the same story. But the result is that when things happen, the DNA mantle protein will edit the DNA. But as a result of what happens... with the story of Bruce Lipton extended by the story of James Oshman and extended by the story of Hans von Rekkeweg, then when things happen around us, they can create a conflict at the level of the body, which can create a conflict at the level of the organs, which can create a conflict at the level of the cell. But remember that all of these things are electromagnetic.
Yeah.
It is like lightning strikes or there's a thunder cloud around you. and then suddenly this thundercloud comes crashing into your system. It overloads and overcharges and discharges all kind of systems, and suddenly the cell finds that it cannot compute properly because the information that it was working with is suddenly replaced by something totally different or something very incoherent. Like in a thundercloud, everything seems to be crashing continuously. What's going on? Or the phase after the thundercloud, where has everything gone? So the cell needs to adjust to that, but sometimes this Lipton machinery cannot cope with that. It too overloads or discharges, or it resets, or whatever happens accordingly to the circumstances. But the DNA is not up there properly.
We're losing you. We're losing your connection. Can you call me?
There's 66 minutes coming up. That's kind of a thing. Let's reconnect.
Okay.
One moment.